my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hopes for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. When I've lost my direction, you're the compass for my way. You're the fire and light when nights are long and cold. In sadness, you are the laughter that shadows all my fear. When I'm all alone, your hand is there to hold. Oh, Jesus, you're the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from you. You're the heart of my contentment, hopes for all I do. Jesus, you're the center of my joy. You are why I find pleasure in the simple things in life. In the meadows and the streams, the voices of the children, my family and my home. You're the source and finish of my highest dream.
My She says she's not going to do it.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okie doke. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Well, something just tell me just to one of y'all. So we'll try that one. We're going to be in A. He turned the water, turned it into wine. He turned the water, turned it into wine. In little Cana town, word went all around. Do, do, do. He turned the water, turned it into wine. Walked upon the Sea of Galilee, see. Yes, he walked upon the Sea of Galilee. He shouted far and wide, calmed the raging tide. Walked upon the Sea of Galilee. He turned the water, turned it into wine. He turned the water, turned it into wine. In a little Cana town, sing with me. The word went all around. He turned the water, turned it into wine. He healed the leper and the lame. He healed the leper and the lame. This is impossible. He said, go tell no man, I guarantee he healed me. I shouted throughout the land. He healed the leper and the lame. He turned the water, turned it into wine. He turned the water, turned it into wine. In little Cana town, the word went all around. He turned the water, turned it into wine. He fed the hungry multitude. Yes, he fed the hungry multitude. With a little piece of fish and bread, the multitude was fed. He fed the hungry multitude. Walked upon the Sea of Galilee. Yes, he walked upon the Sea of Galilee. Healed a leper and a lame. He healed a leper and the lame. He fed the hungry multitude. He turned the water, turned it into wine. Amen, amen, amen. We'll all stand now. We'll change the order of service. Amen, amen, amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Amen. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, loving.
I'd like turning your scripture, turn where we're reading in Ephesians, and then we'll go from that to Isaiah, and then we'll go from Isaiah to Revelations 3. Remember the announcements now, the Bible study this coming Saturday, 6 o'clock, so come and be with us. We have a good time talking about the Word of the Lord. It's kind of like a little different from others that we do. We sit around and eat popcorn and talk about the Bible. Just have a good time fellowshipping and all. So we do that. So come up with questions, and questions come up. We try our best to answer them. And if we don't, we just tell you. Say, one the other day, somebody said something. I said, well, I'll just tell you. I don't know. Because I don't have no problem saying it, because that's the truth. If I don't know the answer, you know, that's why I want you to participate. And probably the way it looks now, we will not get through this afternoon to have questions, so we will have them Wednesday. But if you're not able to be here Wednesday or whatever, if you'll write your questions down, we'll try to cover it, you know, and do as best as we can. Because I love questions, because the prophet said questions makes a strong church. Yeah. You say, now questions makes a strong... Well, I kind of think that he was referring to the fact that God can answer questions. And that's what makes a strong church, is to learn what's on the mind of the people, and then God can answer doing that. So remember that. And then the fellowship meeting will be here the third Saturday. The banquet will be here on Oakwood on the second Saturday. So remember them. We're kind of announcing ahead of time where you'll know where to go and what to do. Fellowship meeting will be here on the third Saturday in March. Now, not in February. It'll be in March. So remember that, all right? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, your love, your understanding. We thank you for you. Because without you, what good would it be for any of us? We put all our dependence is upon you, to where that you will be the answer to all of our questions or thoughts or ideas. Everything would be given into your hands to where that you could have the preeminence with each one of us. Forgive our sins, because we know that's for surety. The only way that there any preeminence could be thought of was to start off with a clear, clean slate. So we ask you to forgive us and guide us and bless each one. Remember the sick ones. Remember the different requests that were given, and just have your way with each one. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, we'll probably try to change the title of the message after Wednesday, so we may not read this scripture but one or two more times, okay? I said one or two, but man. Well. Paul said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places," where? "In Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself." What? "That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after," now see, it's not all just, well, we got this, we don't know, "after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." Now let's go to Isaiah 53, and we'll start with verse 6, I think, or it was 7. All right. Now we know who this is talking about, because you go back to the first of it and start, "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed," and all, talking about Jesus Christ, right? All right. "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation?" Now what? Who shall declare? Who shall make known his generation? "For he was cut off out of the land of the living." Now, so I could stop right there and preach about a week on just that thought, because look, see, it's when somebody's got to declare his generation. Well, now, is he going to do it, or who's going to do it? See, read your scripture and just listen to the Holy Spirit speak to you. See? "And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living." See, he was crucified. He says, all right, now watch. "For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, and he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see the travail of his soul," see, showing who it is, "and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the portion with the strong." Remember, we are heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Is that scripture? All right, now, see, God's going to divide him, but then he's going to divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. All right? Revelations. Yeah. Supposed to be the message to our day now. 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now remember the message to this age. That was what was supposed to be now. So now watch that as we get in down into the message part. That the message to this age is a very special. No age has this message. See, if you're coming down to dealing with the beginning of the creation of God and finish that up, then you can see there's nothing more can be added to. This age gets the revelation of the complete plan of God and the revelation of his deity. Now watch that when we finish up. When Brother Branham says, this is the true revelation of God. Not that it was false anywhere. Perfect realization. Right? So watch that now to end, so if you hold on to that. All right. Back up just a hair to relate to the message and come over. What was we talking about this morning? That God in the beginning, the great creator, the Word, he created all things. All right? And then in creating all things natural, you know, the world, the people, the things, you know, Adam, and then our bodies were sown in the earth, and then we could come forth in that way, then he would be the beginning of a physical creation, because he would start it, you know, and build it, and you take him all the way back, study sometimes the beginning of the creation of God. We may try to cover a little few things. But see, you can take the beginning of the creation of God, and it runs right into Jesus Christ, like this morning. But keep on going back. Go with Brother Branham back into the beginning of the creation of God, when God was his first creation. You remember that statement? That sounds kind of odd, but it's not. It's not saying when he started. It's when he would begin to unfold himself. The beginning of the creation of God then doesn't just deal with Jesus Christ, the flesh man. I hope you'll follow that until we can get back to it to be able to speak more on it. All right. Then what did we come up to? We said, yeah, but God wasn't through creating. He had a physical world. He had mankind and all like that, but he wasn't through creating. So he started creating. If you'll read the masterpiece, I was just looking at it a moment ago, scanning through on it. If you'll read or listen to the tape, The Masterpiece, you'll find a lot of the things that he's talking about. And he'll show that he had a masterpiece family and they fell. But then he started rebuilding again. And as he started rebuilding again, see, he was building not to say the masterpiece family at that time as much as he was building the one person back in, bringing him into human flesh, which would be the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Because there's no need of talking about any kind of masterpiece without him. So he starts off with what? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, building the, being the foundation, and said, then the prophets built the body. Right. All right, you remember that this morning? The body was built by the Word. And like I told you, if you would take it, it'll give you a natural story. Take the picture that you can see where that Brother Branham, you know, liked it so much about the bride drawn out in the Bible, you know, the letters of the Word, and then italicized a little bit on the outline to make showing the body, the dress, the hair. If you take that and just think about that, that's what he was doing in the Old Testament. Then you got every one of those prophets as part of the body of Christ as they were bringing the Word forth, and it was building his body according to Hebrews 10:5, a body thou hast prepared me. All right? See, then when he came on the shores of Galilee, that was Almighty God, the Creator. Peter recognized that. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. All right? And see, then there he was. He was that great masterpiece, The prophets built the body, John to come introducing Jesus Christ being the head, and there was your Old Testament scriptures fulfilled in a human body called the Word. Or as it says in John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. All right? Now, see, then getting that to be, then God was not through creating back there. He was creating his own body, his own flesh to come into being. Take out any of those prophets. You know, well, we don't need them little old bitty prophets, some little old minor ones, you know. What is it? Is it the book of Esther? Is that right? And I think that's right. It doesn't even have the name God in it. It's the book of Esther. But see, it's put in to because it was needed to keep lining up the things and showing what God was doing in the people and lining up the genealogies and the different things. All right? But see, everything there is perfect then. So the prophets built the body. Then he walked the shores of Galilee. Right? Going forth ministering, preaching, but what was he preaching? Then as he did, he started talking about something else. Instead of talking about himself, he began to speak of another creation. He began to tell in parables about the sowing of the seed and how that the good seed, that the sower of the seed was the Son of Man. We read it this morning there in Matthew 13. And see, then he was the sower of the seed, and then he coming in would be in the church that would make her to be that good seed. And the children of the kingdom is the good seed. All right? The children of the wicked are the tares, the wrong seed, you know, on the things. All right, bringing it down to where that he would begin again to, because he's not through creating. He doesn't have everything that he wants. He wanted to make himself known as healer, savior, redeemer. There was a lot of that could have been done back in the Old Testament, but it could not have been brought into full completion. All right? There was salvation back there. There was healing back there. There was deliverance and all of the thing, but not the way that God wanted it. So you see him as he begins to sow the seed. And what seed is he sowing? See, we look at the parables, and that's where we get massively confused. And that's what the disciples, even though Jesus, now watch, listen, even though Jesus explained the parables, they still didn't know what he's talking about. They had their understanding opened of what things he was saying. But why did Peter and them, even after Jesus raised, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? After his resurrection, they're in Acts 1 and 6. They didn't know what he was talking about. Oh, they understood them parables then. Because the parable is this. Well, let me ask you, let me just say it. Do you understand the parables? You both, I ask you to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Do you understand the parables? Well, then if you understand the parables, there's no problem with saying that the children of the kingdom is a new race of people. Do you understand the parables? That's what he's explaining. What do you need to sow some more people? You already got a world full of junk. Right? You think Jesus was sowing another world full of junk? Well, see, then the good seed of the kingdom would be what? The children of God. It would be his offspring. It would be a kingdom that would be a domain that nobody, that no natural, had nothing to do with it. So do you understand the kingdom? Do you understand the parable of the sower of the seed? Well, then if you understand it, then you have no problems with what I'm saying. Right? You say, well, I just don't understand. See, then I'm telling you, you don't understand the kingdom. You understand? I mean, that you do the best you can to try to explain something, but do you understand it?
Amen.
You are the children of the kingdom.
Right.
But Brother Dale, what I can't understand is how he sowed us. That's like you, oh, sowing seeds. They're sowing. He spoke the word.
Right.
May I quote Brother Branham? He said, there's talk about, you know, Barry kind of wondering about his ministry, and I remember that part, and he said, I'm just going sowing seed.
Right.
You remember him saying that?
Yeah.
I'm just going sowing seed. Well, we know what he was doing. He was preaching the gospel.
Right.
Yeah. But you know what he was doing? And this is one I like. I remember hearing it told. And he told it one time like this. And one of the brothers said they went to a meeting one day and they got there and said, Brother Brown said they asked him, you know, how's it going or something. He said, this is the best way that I can remember paraphrasing what the brother told. And said, Brother Brown said, I got the one I came after the first night. He said, we'll have good meetings. Now, what about a man that could say that? I believe it happened, you know.
Right.
See, God sent him there sowing seed. What was he doing? Preaching the gospel. What was Jesus doing? Preaching the gospel. What was that doing? Now, I don't want you to listen. I don't want you to get lost, all right? Maybe I shouldn't warn you ahead about don't get lost in this afternoon, because we've got to hold a point. Remember, because Jesus sowed the seed. And you'll see that it's not just tossing out seed. When he sowed the seed into them disciples, that seed was not made alive until the day of Pentecost. Are you with me? So that you won't get lost when they go through it, because I'm trying to explain an overall view to bring it up to what I want to say. Then we'll have the questions and answers. But just remember that now. That because he sowed the seed, it didn't make it alive right then. Even though he opened their understanding. You remember the message the other day? Even though he opened their understanding of the scriptures, they still didn't give them the new birth. I didn't give the new birth just because he opened her understanding. Well, I know I'm born again because I've had my understanding opened. Well, my Lord. I mean, somebody walking down the road and pick up one of Brother Brown's books and read it. I mean, it doesn't matter if he's drunk as a coot. He could look at it and say, boy, he opened my understanding. Right? That don't make it alive. So remember that now before we get down to the point, and then you'll lose me in what I'm trying to talk about. All right. So now watch. What is this? As the scripture says, the children of the kingdom. It's another creation. We were not in Jesus Christ physically. You agree? But the eternal life that you have in you right now was in Jesus Christ. All right. We then come into the world lost and had to be redeemed. We'll get back to those things. But try to make an overall view. As I said this morning then, and I've mentioned it before, you didn't choose your children. They were just brought forth. Right? Now, I don't care if you planned them or what you done. Or all these, get out of that. I said choose. And God didn't pick and choose his children of saying, well, I'm not going to choose this, but I'm going to choose that. That didn't make him a respecter of person.
Right.
But we were chosen in Jesus Christ. And who is he? The Word. Right? We were chosen in Christ and he's the Word. All right? See, then that way we can see what he was doing while he was here on earth. Have you ever heard Brother Brown talk about like this on marriage and divorce? How that we come forth by spiritual multiplication. Spiritual multiplication. Right? That's why we emphasize, and the prophet did, what? That the seed comes through the body. Right? Even though the Ethiopian eunuch had been up there in all his meetings and everything, it didn't do any good. But when Philip came to him, it opened the scriptures. All right. Spiritual multiplication is what I'm talking about. Him sowing the seed was sowing the Word. And that Word is you and I. Now, listen for a second, then we'll move on. As the prophets built the body, you follow that line? The prophets built the body. John coming to be the last to introduce the head. Can't you see down through the ages? The body of Jesus Christ, which is the bride, the children of the kingdom, the offspring of God, is building the body for God to dwell in. You know why the Lord's not here in a corporal body? Because he's in your body. So that would be two bodies. He doesn't have to be here. He doesn't come here even in his second coming. We meet him in the air. Why? Because his corporal body is him, but we are his body. Is that what Paul is explaining? How we're the body of Christ and Paul, and how that he brings it out that Jesus Christ is the head. So then can't you see that in the New Testament, the Word would build the body? Amen. And looking at the stature of a perfect man, and you see what those men preach and the things for the ages is building the body of Jesus Christ. That's why they without us cannot be made perfect. Those behind us can't be. Why? Because we're part of the body. All right, then. Is it true? As John the Baptist come to introduce the head, is it not true that God would send Elijah again of Malachi 4 in this last days to introduce the head, and the head and body would unite? And may I say it, that Brother Brown said the head and body would unite to bring the message? But see, you get so tied up in the point of thinking, no, Brother Branham brought the message. That's right. He sowed you and me. God's still sowing seed. Until the last Gentile comes into the body of Christ, God's still sowing seed. Then it'll change to the 144,000 of Jews and all the other things. But he's still sowing the seed. Why? Because we were in him when he walked the shores of Galilee. How was he going to get us out? Right? Now remember, when he was hanging on Calvary, you remember they didn't break a bone? You remember that? Couldn't do those things. So what did they do? They pierced his side. What came out? Water and blood, showing he had died of a broken heart. Man didn't kill him. He died of a broken heart because of my sins and yours. Because of our stupidities and carnalities. He died of a broken heart. The water and the blood had already mingled. They say scientifically, if you go into so much agony and pain, that would be possible. That's supposed to be a scientific fact. At least I've read it for... that it would be possible the blood and the water would mix because of so much pain. I want to thank everybody, too, for praying for me about my back. It's really in great shape now, and I'm doing real good because God has touched me, and I appreciate your prayers. You know, because I've been capable of all of my life to be able to bear pain, but I have never until this time with my back got sick enough that I was nauseated. And, you know, that goes into a lot more. Just got nauseated. As my wife kept, she was wonderful about saying, honey, can I do that? Just leave me alone. I got to that far. I said, just leave me alone. Because she was wanting to help me. Can I do this? Can I get you this? I said, honey, I said, you can get me something to make, you know, something drink to make me get rid of this nausea in my stomach. Because I had never been to that place that I would just literally get up and this, it would hit me and she'd see me and she knows it was doing it till I would just bend double. Just the pain was so great, I would just bend totally double. And, you know, but I thank God for healing me because I believe him. Thank you for your prayers. But that's just a little bit of doing that. What about him getting to the basis that his water and blood mingle together? But you know what Brother Brown said that showed? He said, because the bride was still in him. Now, that's what we got to think about for a little bit. He said the bride was still in him until Calvary. Now, that's not physically, right? So he's talking spiritually. See, at Calvary, the only way you and I could be anything was for that life that was in him to be released, to come back upon you and I, to give us a new birth. There's what I'm saying. Don't get lost in the message this evening. Listen. Because even though Jesus was sowing the seed of the entire Word of God, there was no ability to make that seed alive until Calvary. Right? But it did make the beginning of a creation. Did he want it to be made? You remember what we gave this morning? Got it in here somewhere. What was it? I'll catch up in a minute, but where he said, he's the beginning of the creation. It's in proving his word, I know. But he said, and we are the continuation of that creation. You realize when he walked the shores of Galilee, the eternal life that God was inside of him. That's what makes us his offspring. But he had to sow the word before you and I could come forth. All right? So he sowed. The Son of Man is the only sower of the seed. Right? Because he is the Word himself. All right? He sowed the seed and then went to Calvary to pay the price to where that word they had heard and even had opened up to them to a degree to where that could be made alive. So is ever born again believer. That's why he's still creating. See, he's still sowing his seed. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is still quickening that seed to make it alive. Amen. There's his offspring. Amen. That's what he was doing while he was here. He was sowing it. And watch in a few minutes when we get down to that point. See, when he walked upon the shores of Galilee, we say we was in him. That's what the prophet said. He said he went to hell with us in him. Amen. All right. But it was not there as a physical person, but there in Jesus Christ. And it's not him talking about some natural seed that he would have. It was the Word of God. That is that new creation. See? He wanted to bring forth his offspring. Now, it's like I've tried my best over and over to explain it to you from the beginning. That he didn't pick and choose. But he knew who would receive eternal life and who wasn't. So he had it ready for us. All right. So when we would get here, no matter what age it's in, there was a seed for every age. Right?
Amen.
See, then as it come forward, now watch. As we tried to cover it in last Sunday, that thought that we were on. Go ahead, we'll start with number, we'll go with number 7, I think. Either they got it number 6. Christ is a mystery of God revealed, because I want to start from that point. All right. Where that Brother Brown says what? He loves fatherhood. For he was a father. And the only way he could express it was to become a son of man. That's why Jesus kept saying son of man. They didn't understand. What was it they didn't understand? What was it they didn't understand? Well, you could say they didn't understand him being God. That's all right. That's only half the story.
Right.
They didn't understand what he's talking about.
Right.
Looked like some of those disciples would have jumped up and said, hey, wait a minute. He's talking about us. We are the children of the kingdom. They couldn't understand that until the Holy Ghost had come on the day of Pentecost. Then that's what they were doing. From Pentecost on, since then, has been the people trying to explain what God has made them to be. The bride of Jesus Christ. Right? See, but that was the only way he could be father. What? The way he wanted to be father. By creating man in the garden made him father. Right? That didn't make him father the way he wanted to be father. See, this has got to finish. All right? So you see then, as we read in the scriptures that Wade used this past Wednesday on Isaiah 53, that he said that once he would give his life, see, who can declare his seed? You and I have got to declare his seed. See, they could not declare his seed. Now listen to me. They could not declare his seed to be what he wanted in the Old Testament. They were just a chosen. Israel, chosen. That was a wonderful opportunity to be a chosen of God. To be a people of God. But I'm not talking about a people of God. I'm talking about God and his offspring. That is not just a people of God. Somebody that he chose, that goes to your predestination out the door. But to be the basis of being him made manifest in another form called a bride. Come on, folks. You see, when he would see the travail of his soul. We're not Trinitarians. But remember, when that man hung on the cross and died, God wasn't sitting up there grinning and saying, oh boy, hey, look at him dying. But the Bible says that he would see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Is that the scripture? He would see that death of that man and be satisfied. He would be, let me, Serena said, he wasn't up there smiling, but it pleased God to afflict him, the Bible says. Come on, read your Bible sometime. It pleased God to afflict him. Well, God must be a sadist. Well, he loves to beat people. I can prove it to you because he went over there to the temple and he drove them out with a whip. Oh, glory. But listen. He looked down and saw that man that would give his life. You say, well, that's too God. No, no. That's acts of a play.
Right.
May I say it that way?
Right.
You know, that brother around about, what is it, the unveiling of God, I'm pretty sure, where he said that Jesus acted the part of death. I think that's right. I'll find you the quote anyway. He said he acted the part of death. Why? Because he didn't die. The flesh died. But the soul, as we were talking about this morning, that was inside of her, it didn't die. All right? If everybody understood the oneness of the Godhead, you wouldn't have no trouble. The oneness of the Godhead is what? Body, a creation, spirit, the spirit in sundry times and divers manners who spake to fathers by the prophet, I'm quoting Brother Brown, and the soul of Almighty God. That makes one true and living God. Standing right there in one person.
Right.
But see, do we follow that? See? Then, when we were in him at Calvary and had to be separated, there's what it is, 240, it's the rising of the sun, paragraph 240. He went there with you and him, word of Calvary. And when he went there with you and him, it was separated. Not physically something separated. The life now would come out of him at Calvary that would be able to make the word that those disciples had heard come alive. Without a Calvary, there is no alive word. All right? See, he was speaking the word. Right? The Son of Man sowed the seed is the children of the kingdom. He was speaking this into existence. What would be the trouble with that parable? Well, I don't understand how he does. See, that's what you're trying to figure it out. Why don't you just simply accept the fact that he preached the gospel? Those disciples heard the gospel. And that gospel was made alive in the upper room. Making them the children of God. Come on, we've been through it. That's why the prophet said, you didn't become seed by the rebirth. He said, you were seed and thereby you could be born again. Those disciples had to take that word and hold it. There's your seed. There's your seed. The predestination is God looked down and saw. Well, I come with a seed in me. Come on, I don't mind quoting Brother Branham on that north at night where we started back there as a seed and worked our way down. If we started back there as a seed, we had to have a channel to come down through. Is there any problem with that being the Lord Jesus Christ? How else did you come? Then how else did he do it? He sowed us. He spoke the word that you are. He spoke what you and I are. See, the beginning in the natural was a physical creation. We know it was not in that physical part in him because the second part brought him into being and that he would be the Son of Man, which would be the Word made flesh, and that he would begin in the womb of a mother, Mary, and how that it would come forth that he would stand on earth and sow the children of the kingdom. Right? Because where did it come from if you don't have it there?
That's right.
That's all I want.
Amen.
Give me an answer. Where did it come from? See, we had to become some way. We had to become seed.
Right.
Oh, we're not born with this seed, didn't we? See, that's... All right. Now we're down to the point of where we read in the scriptures there in Revelation that he's the beginning of the creation of God. And I invite you, if you don't have a computer to run it up with, let me know. I'll be glad to run it up for you and get you all of the quotes where Brother Brown talks about the beginning of the creation of God. And the biggest portion of those quotes deals with the human flesh created in the body, in the womb of Mary. All right? But then he carries it back to before the foundation of the world, that he was the beginning of the creation of God. All right, then where is any problem where Brother Brown explaining the beginning of the creation of God, paragraph 146. Go ahead and put that one up, number 11. Let's get that one, because some people may not have the ability to read the message as we do. Number 11 is paragraph 146, proving his word. And look what he says. So he's talking about he come down through and every son comes out of what? He said what? And he's talking about him, right? All the Father has given, he will come and all. Not a hair of a head will perish and things. Talking about Jesus Christ. He was raised for our justification. Coming. This is the beginning of the creation of God. Excuse me. That is the beginning of the creation of God. That's Jesus Christ. This is the continuation of the creation of God. Is there any problem with that? Now, may I say it this way, where you'll understand? If he was the beginning of the creation of God, and we're the rest of that creation, is there any difference in you and him? There's where you swallow now. You got to swallow to take that. You got to think a little bit. All right? If he's the beginning of the creation of God, and we are the continuation of that creation, not a separate one, then we got to be the same.
Amen.
He was the fullness, we are the parts. All of us put together makes the fullness, right? All of us put together makes the body of Christ. The fullness of the Godhead bodily would be in his bride. Now watch this tie together. As I said, the beginning of the creation of God, Brother Branham, you know this in paragraph 21, questions and answers on Genesis, where God was his first creation, and then he created everything else and come down and created man. All right? You need that? It's up there. See, he was the first creation was God himself. Well, Dale, I just don't, you just bring out things that are just, I didn't bring that out. I wasn't smart enough, and you wasn't either. He's the one that said it. The first creation of God, first creation was God himself. Then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. Then out of the Logos, which is the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Out of the Logos came forth the man. All right? Now, I thought we believed the Bible. See, we haven't got to all of it because we're going to get to this on some more. But the Bible says that Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Why? Because he was God. Is that a simple answer? Because he was God. All right. Then if eternal life comes through the Father, and it can't come by the Son because the Son can't give you eternal life. The God that's in the Son of Man, right? The flesh couldn't give you anything. All right? See, then, we're heirs with God. Is that the Bible? And what? And joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, according to that, then, he had to be God. To be heirs of God. He had to be God, right? Is that sensible?
Yes.
And to be joint heirs with Jesus Christ means we have the same thing he has.
Amen.
Well, you're just making a little too strong. Why don't you get out of your sugar tits? You're sucking on your old sugar tits of 40 years ago. Because you see, folks, I was preaching this 40 years ago. But nobody wanted to hear it. That's why they don't want to hear it now. The first sermon, you know what's true. You heard me say it long enough, you ought to know it. First sermon I preached was the Bride of Jesus Christ, was the Son of Man. That was 1969 in Athens, Georgia. So you ought to know that this is not a new thing. Well, are you talking about seniority? No, I'm talking about God revealing his word. God revealing his word. When one certain brother began about 1980 preaching about the bride and the Son of Man, everybody was glory. Well, that was wonderful. You know what? I was tickled to death. I wasn't upset because somebody else was preaching it. I was tickled to death somebody else was preaching it. Because I've told you over and over, now you ought to know this is true. And if there would be any way to erase my name and my face from what I preach, I wouldn't care if it put you up here. As long as the word gets out, that's all I'm concerned about.
Amen.
Ain't no popularity in this thing. Sure, I'm proud of the fact of what God has revealed to me. You ought to be. If you don't, if you're not, he hadn't revealed anything to you. May I say it that way? You ought to be happy about the word that God has revealed to you. Because there's something wrong with you if you're not. See? Now, he's the beginning of the creation of God. And we're the continuation of that creation. May I use another statement Brother Branham made? He said, how did, let's see. How did the Son go, how did he go forth? I'm trying to get that scripture. I'll get it in a minute. But he said, he come down and went in him. Right. Is that the way Jesus and God was one? God came down and went in Jesus Christ. Is that, was that the way they were one? Pleased to dwell in? What about you? If he give you the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he's pleased to dwell in you. You see why most people don't have it? Because they never know how to believe unto it. They don't know what to believe. One says it's shouting, screaming, and hollering like waves talking about Wednesday. Other says it's this, other says it that. The anointing is supreme power and control. That's what your prophet said. Right? But listen. Then if he's God, Sister Gail, and you're a child of God, is there any difference outside of the volume? You understand what I mean? He's the whole ocean with a little spoonful. Yeah, right? But you know what? Put it all together. Put it all together down through seven ages and you got the whole ocean full. Because you got God made manifest. When are we going to believe that? All right? Well, see, what happened was, now with Calvary coming into being and him sowing the seed into those disciples' hearts, then he could bring forth a new race of people. Now that's not Chinese and Japanese. A new race. A new creation. Of people. What do you think about it? What are you? The Bible says we are his offspring. We're his children. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And the eternal life that's within us is the life of Almighty God, and that's how we are the children of God. Not just because you shouted, spoke in tongues, you cried, done whatever. No, what is it? Right. Have you thought about it? A new race. A new race of people came forth. Now, watch what I'm saying, because we'll read this in a minute. When Jesus Christ came on earth, he was God and man, right? Right? God and man. A new race started right there. What is the rest of that race? If the starting of the race is God and man one, what's the rest of the race? I can't help it if the people of this message ain't never preached it to where you could hear. Brother Brown said, God and man won back there. And then what did he say? Well, God, maybe some of these days might be able to, well, I don't know what he'd be. Now, what did he say? God and man won there. God and man won here. Right. Now, don't tie your things up to the point of saying it was just God and Brother Branham. Because if you do, I'm going to quote what that man quoted. You ever heard, if you think it was just Brother Branham that he's speaking of God and man one down here, then may I quote what this brother said. He said, the way we say it, said all God was, he poured into Christ. All Christ was, he poured in Brother Branham. He died and took it with him. We ain't got nothing. I'm not throwing off on nobody. I'm just telling it like it is. God in Christ back there, God in Christ down here. In the people. Brother Brown never said that the prophet in this last day would be the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But he said the bride would be. He never said he was the Son of Man, but he said the bride would be the Son of Man. You had never noticed statements Brother Branham made. In the seal book, he said one time, and he said, did it come forth to where that he could, let's see, I'm paraphrasing it, so I'll get it pretty close. But what he winds up saying was, he said, the coming of the prophets. Go back and do it if you don't need it. Don't, I'll run it up for you. He said, prophets. Well, you mean it's fentanyl? No. We got one prophet in the last days to the Gentiles, and it's done being. But why can't you believe that the people are the prophets? You would have to agree that there's prophets in the fivefold ministry, wouldn't you? I mean, at least you'd agree to that. But he said, talking about the coming of the prophets. What about it? Who do you think you are? Let's just read something. Let's see if you can fit yourself into this. And let your prophet bring it unto us. All right? Go ahead, brother, with number... number 14 is what it is. Starts on page 336 of the Church Age book. And let's just read it and see what he has to say about this beginning of the creation of God. That's 336 Church Age book, Laodicean Church Age. The beginning of the creation of God. This is who the Lord Jesus says he is. But those words don't mean exactly as they sound to us. Just taking them the way they sound has made some people, in fact, multitudes of people, get the idea that Jesus was the first creation of God, making him lower than Godhead. Then this first creation created all the rest of the universe and whatsoever it contains. But that is not right. And you see what people are making it today? Well, Jesus, he just wouldn't God to the river Jordan and become God, and then God left him to die. You're making him less than Godhead. That's identical doctrine, as Wade was bringing out on Wednesday night. That's identical doctrine back in the times right after the disciples, when that man had the idea that Jesus was just another God, another form. He was a demigod. Which a demigod doesn't mean demon like being wrong. Demigod means a lesser god. That's not a new doctrine. But look, what do you think? Do you think that? Did Jesus, do you get the idea that Jesus was the first creation of God, making him lower than Godhead? Is that the way you think? Let me quote Brother Branham. He was either God or the biggest deceiver that ever was. Can I quote it that way? Watch. Because, see, that's the way Brother Branham, I love it. Because he'll bring out our doctrine and our ideas. See, if we believe that, oh, he's the second person, and he's this or that or the other, then you're making him lower than Godhead. See, then you'd be saying this first creation created all the rest of the universe and whatsoever it contains. But that is not so. You know that doesn't line up with the rest of the Bible. The words are, he is the beginner or author of the creation of God. Right. Just keep rolling it on up, because you go to John 1:3, he proves he's a creator. Right? All things were made by him, without him not anything that was made. He's the one that said in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Also in Exodus 20:11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh. Showing there's just one creator, one God. Listen, see, there is no doubt that he is the creator. He was the creator of a physical, finished physical creation. There's mankind, world, etc. All right. Surely we can see what these words mean now. Look how beautiful he can speak. To have any other interpretation would mean that God created God. And how could God be created when he himself is the creator? See, you're making Jesus less than Godhead. That's exactly what you're doing. Listen. But now he is standing in the midst of the church. As he stands there, may I say this, because it's out there, I'm sure, the thought. Oh, well, Brother Dale, that's in the church age book. So that's why they fought the church age book. I still give it on the internet and anywhere. Come and show me the 25 or 30 contradictions in the church age book. But don't bring your stupidity of the last ones that tried it. I'll show you things in the church age book that there was no way in the world the man was writing it knew about it. You know that Brother Branham in the church age book says a rapture comes on the fourth seal? Now you tell me those people understood what he's saying. No. But you see, they fight the church age book because that's where these things come from. You say, well, you shouldn't mention that. Why not? Because somebody out there is thinking it. All right, it kills it. Show me where the church age book is wrong. Now watch it. But now he's standing in the midst. Roll it back down. Roll it back down where we can get the whole thought. Go back down. Okay. The other way. Come on down. There you go. Right here. He's a finisher, finisher. Roll it on up to this one. But he is standing. Watch now. How could he be created when he himself is the creator? Now roll it up. Roll this part right here up. There you go. But now he's standing in the midst of the church. As he stands there revealing who he is in this last age. This was not known down through the ages. Just listening yesterday, we was to a tape. It's the first message after the seals. I can't remember. The world is falling apart. And he said this could have never come forth until this time. You ever heard him talk like that? Look, he stands there revealing who he is in this last age. He calls himself the author of the creation of God. Now watch it. This is another creation. Now is that proving what I've taught this morning to see? Look, this has to do with it. This is another creation. This has to do with the church. Now do you believe the church is a rest of that creation? If he's the beginning of it, we're the rest of it. The bride all the way down through the ages. Not just this end time. It was this end time when it comes forth. This is where we get the understanding. Now, swallow real deep. And listen. This is another creation. This has to do with the church. This is a special designation of himself. Who is the bride? Himself made manifest. He is the creator of that church. Now you tell me he didn't sow the good seed of the kingdom when he was back there. He is the creator of that church. Watch him. Now tie you to it and listen and read. I wish you could, because I know what the thing is. Well, see, that's what people try to do. They try to get you to blank out your mind and then bring some great thing. I ain't trying to get you to blank out your mind. I'm trying to get you to cut the sucker off. And read. Because look what he says. This is a special designation of himself. So this is the beginning of the creation of God. We're the rest of that creation. He ain't talking about us. He's talking about himself. Right. Now watch him. This is a special designation of himself. He is the creator of that church. Listen. Now watch where he goes to. Here's your son of man I've been aiming at, hollering at. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. Yes, right. Right. Is that enough to what I've been talking about? It's right. He created his own bride. But look what he says. As the Spirit of God, he came down and created in the Virgin Mary the cells from which his body was born. Are you reading? It's a special designation of himself. Where does he go to? Then you'll see why the Son of Man is the only soul of the seed. Because who was that? And you didn't listen this morning in Life Sunday, if you can't answer the question. That little baby right there that's come there and born, he was born Lord to Christ. That was the Son of Man. He growed up in his ministry and his life, proving who he was. He was the Son of Man. Listen and read. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. Listen. As the Spirit of God, he came down and created in the Virgin Mary the cells from which his body was born. I want to repeat that. He created the very cells in the womb of Mary for that body. Who is he talking about? I thought he was talking about the heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. Where at? In the womb of Mary. Because that was the word. Where are we at? Listen, it was not enough for that Holy Spirit to simply give life to a human ovum supplied by Mary. That would not have been, that would have been sinful mankind producing the body. That would not have produced the last Adam. Of him it was said, lo, a body thou hast, Father, prepared for me. God, not Mary, provided that body. Mary was a human incubator, and she carried that holy child and brought him to birth. It was a God-man. He was the Son of God. He was of the new creation. God, man and God met and joined. He was the first of this new race. He's the head of this new race. Colossians 1 and 8. What? He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Right? New creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There you can see that though man was of the old order of creation, this is the old order of creation. This body we're living in is the old order of the creation. Now in union with Christ, he has become the new creation of God. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in union with Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians 4:24, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen. This new creation is not the old creation made over. Are you reading it? This creation is not the old creation. He's just going to whitewash it. He's going to change it and make it good. Got to be born again. Amen. Right? So listen. It could not be called a new creation if it was. This is exactly what it says. What it is. Says it is. This new creation. This is another creation. Distinct from the old man. No longer is he dealing by ways of the flesh. That was how he dealt with Israel. He chose Abraham and Abraham's issue through the godly Isaac line. But now, out of every kindred, tribe, and nation, he has purposed a new creation. He is the first of that creation. He was God created in the form of man. Now, by his Spirit, he is creating many sons unto himself. God, the Creator, created himself a part of his own creation. Now, do you see the Son of Man was the sower of the seed? He had to sow us before he could pay the price. He had to come down and plant the word into you before he could do you any good. Now, is everybody awake where I can read the next words? Now, may I say it this way? He's talking about what? A special designation of himself.
Right.
But in a group of people. Right? That are his offspring. That are his children. Not just something he chose, but it was his children by predestination. That was chosen before the foundation of the world. And then you want to gripe with me and say, it's a little bit too much, Brother Dale, to think that we're the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That the bride could be the Son of Man made manifest. I want you to read the next verse. And then tell me that again. All of this we just read, this is the true revelation of God. What is the true revelation of God? Well, it was Jesus was God, and he couldn't be the third person, but he wasn't the first. He's the fourth, the fifth, the fifth. Oh, great. What is the true revelation of God? Without his offspring coming forth, there is no revealing of God.
Yeah.
But by his offspring coming, God is being revealed.
Yes.
Come on, read all that we said. Creating a part of his own. If I was you, I'd go home, I'd get that church age book, I'd turn over page 336, and I'd read that, and I'd read that, and I'd read that, and I'd read that, and tomorrow morning, about daylight, I'd still be reading that page. I'd read it until it just becomes so much of me. Until I would believe it. All the things he spoke of, this is the true revelation of his bride. Now, he didn't say that, because all back before then he was talking about God, and then God and his bride. This is a true revelation of God. Listen, this was his purpose. Christ the mystery of God revealed. He had a plan and a purpose. This purpose took form through election. That is why he could look right down to the last age where all would, when all would be over, and see himself still in the midst of the church as author of this new creation of God. His sovereign power brought it to pass. By his own decree, he elected the members of this new creation. He predestinated them to the adoption of children according to the good pleasure of his will. By his omniscience and omnipotence, he brought it to pass. How else could you, he know that he would be standing in the midst of the church receiving glory from his brethren if he did not make sure? He ain't pulling nothing over on God. All things he knew and all things he worked out according to what he knew in order that his purpose and good pleasure be brought to pass. I like the last part. Aren't you glad you belong to him?
Amen.
But Brother Dale, I just can't accept the fact that you're tying to God, to his bride, too much. I didn't do that. So you're rejecting what he says, not what I say. But see, you're not listening to what he says there. He brings it down about the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And how that we were in Christ before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
Brought it to earth and brought him as to being. And then he says what? This is the true revelation of God.
Amen.
May I quote Brother Branham that we used the other day?
Yes.
God is not complete. What? Without you. He chose it to be that way. He decreed it to be that way. That was where I was at when we first started this series 35 messages ago, 36. What? That God's plan and purpose, according to Christ, the mystery of God revealed, was to reveal himself to his offspring. That he would bring it down and bring us into being. But sin would enter the picture where he could fulfill all the other things that he had said of the healer, the savior, the redeemer, the things. And that he would bring it forth then in this last days as to be the bride of Jesus Christ. That he would be the beginning of the creation of God and we'd be the rest of that creation of God. Yes, but that just makes it... ain't you a little afraid? No, I'm glad. But I'm sad. I'm sad that the people of this message can't see this message that your prophet brought. But I'm sad that the poor old people are sitting there listening to those things. And you remember it's also in the Gospels where Jesus said, "You will stand in the door and won't let the others go in and won't go in yourself." That's in the Gospels. Amen. Poor blinded people. Blinded by the false shepherds. You see, why did I say that 40 years ago? I said the biggest portion of these people, of this message, true born-again believers. I didn't de-Christianize nobody. True born-again believers will die and go by the grave because they cannot believe what God has said about them. What do you believe? You know, a sister here one time caught on to something, but she just got it a little bit too much in advance. I won't call her name, but she told me, she said, "Brother Dale, the way you and Brother Mold are preaching," she said, "then I don't have to repent for all of my sins." Said, "because I am God made manifest." I said, "Sister," I said, "you never got that here. You got that from your own ideas." Because I said, the more that any child of God would become in God, the more that child would want to repent. Right? You ever heard a man like Brother Branham that, listen, may I quote him? He said, "I lived so close to God that it made the gift work." Have you ever noticed that one? What about a man that lived a spotless life, as you would call it? Now, I don't believe he was spotless. I believe Brother Ram was a human. But he lived so close to God, he made the gift work. I kind of like what that lady said about her husband. Her husband said, "well, Brother Branham had to do so-and-so to get out of the anointing." You know, when he would come out of the service, she said, "honey, you don't need to get out of the anointing." That's truth. That you don't need to get out of it. Maybe he did. But church, do you see what I'm talking about? Maybe that'll give you some questions for Wednesday. The Lord Jesus Christ came on earth and spoke into existence a new creation of people because he was the head of that race. God and man become one in Jesus Christ. Heaven and earth, I remember that Brother Moat preaching that many, many years ago. Heaven and earth kissed each other. When God and man become one in Jesus Christ. He said, God and man won there. He said, God and man won here. Right. What's going to bring a change? Why are we here 40, 50 years after the prophet's gone? Because we won't believe what he said. What did he say? I see only one thing holding off the coming of the Lord. Right? He said the readiness of the bride. Did he say in the church age book, when the bride realizes who she is, she'll be gone? Well, bless God, I know who I am. I'm bride. In living like the devil, then that's the seed of the description. Right? That's the tires. See? I hope you followed me through predestination. Come on, musicians. That God, back before the world, predestination looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks on to destiny. Foreknowledge is first that God knew what exactly you and I would be doing this day and everything that would ever take place. He knows that. All right? But you know what? He didn't just go on vacation, stay up in heaven. Right? He come down to live here. Why? Let me ask you a simple question. Why did God come down to Sodom? Now, what does the Bible say? Why did God go down to Sodom? He said, to see if what's going on is right. In other words, somebody told him, he said, I'm going down there to make sure everything's right, you know, of what's been said to me. Now, why did he have to do that? When he was God, he could sit up in heaven and see the whole thing. See, you're missing the whole story. The first thing he starts with is Jehovah. Jehovah means like a father with his family. He was pleased back there with those Old Testament saints, but that wasn't what he wanted. He wanted children like himself. He wanted what I was mentioning this morning. He wanted like the man that the slave, you know, the man from Africa, the slave. Why is he so different? He said, I wondered too, till I found out over in Africa he was the son of a king. Said he's living here no matter what, acting like the son of a king. What's holding off the rapture? The bride come into the place that she can live the message without it being a book of rules. But you can't do that by a book of rules. Brother Branham makes some outstanding statements. He says, we got to be desperate or perish. I believe it's in desperation, I'm pretty sure. He said, but you can't be desperate until God makes you desperate. Now watch him. Look at him go this way, go that way. He turns right back and he said, all we've seen are to make us desperate. It's all still right on time. Nothing's out of cater. It's right on time. God's going to have his way if you and I don't want to go on. He'll make a way. We sat and listened the other night, and I thought, oh God, how many people misunderstand. He said, did you say them denominations, and he named them, Methodist, Baptist, and things. He said, you say that they're coming in and getting the Holy Ghost. He said, you're wrong. They're not getting it. Now, there's one statement, right? Take that statement, and that leaves everyone in this building out, except for a handful of Pentecostals. And you know what he thought of them. I won't say no more. But now put the other statement with it. He said, if you Pentecostals won't go in, what did he say? You want me to quote it or you need to? He said, you Pentecostals won't go in. He said, God will raise up Baptists and Methodists. and take them in. Well, you know that's pretty well what he's done. Around the world, there's more Methodists, Baptists, than there are Pentecostals. The Pentecostals are all going back to their denominations. Right? So you put it all together, and you get a right answer. They ain't no Methodist denomination going to get the Holy Ghost. They ain't no Methodist group of people going to get the Holy Ghost. It's individuals who receive the Holy Ghost. Right? What do we got? Where are we at?
We're going to change key on
it. Let's stand together. We'll have questions and answers Wednesday. So you just write them down.
Now, we don't sing it just exactly like it's in that book. You'll find out when we get to it. We're going to be in D. We haven't done this in a long time.
Yeah.
Y'all be with us. The law of the Lord is perfect, rejoicing the soul.
The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I don't have enough voice, forgive me. He's harder they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter than the honey and the honeycomb. That's in the scriptures, right? The song. You are the Lord of God. Statue of a perfect man.
Rejoicing the heart.
In the Lord of God. Enlightening the eyes. All of those songs could be sung if we get it in the right order. I love that where that man told us over there. He said, Sam, he said, as they're walking up those steps, going into that temple for worship, he named, I think, three psalms that they were singing as they walked up. Singing all they went before the war. Singers went first. How would you like to be fighting an enemy? But you'd heard a lot about it being pretty tough. And about that time, a bunch of them started walking out singing. Singing, just having a good time.
And the honey.
Anybody have a need? The altar's open.
But the Lord is perfect, converting the soul.
Let me get a prayer cloth.
Well, because your word is true. By your stripes they are healed. And Lord, we thank you for that healing. In Jesus' name.
My stomach is hurting really badly.
Said her stomach's bothering her, Lord. We lay hands on her, believing the word that we've been talking about. The same God that we've been speaking of, we believe your word, Lord. And by your stripes, we condemn this sickness in the stomach, the hurting in Jesus' name. Anybody else? Beautiful picture of the fall and the regeneration of mankind and the coming forth of the children of God.
Converting the soul, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the soul.
simple. More to be desired for they that go, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, than the honey alone.
Pray the statute of this back, Lord, and everything will be all right. Father, we believe you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Imagine the eye. More to be desired, lay them go. Yea, than much fine gold. Send a prayer call to be, Lord, for you. And we believe it in Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honey. Hail King Jesus. Lord of Lords, a bright morning star.
What about it? You believe his word to be true? What about his glory to bring us all the way to the beginning and reveal all the way to the end and the changing of these bodies and where we're going afterwards? Bride will wind up in a beautiful place called the future home that God has prepared for his offspring, his children. He'll be there with his offspring because that's all what he always wanted.
From eternity, I'm going to praise him.
Let's just sing it to him one more time. Raise your hands and think about him, right?
All hail King Jesus. All hail Emmanuel. King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star.
Make one statement.
Thank you.
That I made many years ago, and I truly believe it.
Amen.
When God is revealing his word, whether you're laying in bed at night, sleeping, praying, whatever you're doing, sitting in church, or whatever you're doing, and God is revealing his word. What is the little secret that I told you that I do? When God is speaking his word to me and declaring mysteries that the brothers of this message don't want to even talk about, it doesn't make me feel uplifted. It makes me feel very humble going downward. But I learned something years ago when I do that. It's when he's revealing his word, I remind him of his promises. Won't you try that sometime? Sometime when the Lord is present with you and you feel his presence and, you know, and all, and he's talking to you and revealing his word, why don't you say, Lord, You promised me my children. But see, you can't do that unless God speaks to your heart and it really comes forward. But see, he told me years ago, he said, you'll be there with your offspring. Not because they're just my children. You got the wrong idea. But it's because I believe and thank him for the promise that he made. Then no matter what my children do, or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, no matter how far they get away from God, I still believe. Wasn't it Billy Paul that told a story about his dad? I believe that's right, isn't it? Said his dad, he told him he was maybe washing a car or something, he'd been doing something. Anyhow, he walked out and said, Brother Brown, says something pointed, or there was, and there was a cross. He said, that'll be with you everywhere you go. Why? Because he believed. Why don't you do that sometime? Just try it. Say, Lord, thank you for revealing your word to me. But Lord, there's a lot of promises in there. And one of them is my husband, my wife, my children, my brothers, my sisters, my moms, my dad. Why can't you believe? May I quote Brother Branham? He said, how do you know there wasn't somebody way back there? Because he's talking about a red-headed person, you know, a red-headed child, and they could find no red-headed children or black or whatever it was. They could find none in the family for generation to generation. He said, but you go way back there, and the great-great-great-great-grandmother said she was red-headed. Then what he said. He said, how do you know somebody didn't pray for you? What if it was your great-great-grandmother or grandfather that prayed for you? See, prayed for their children, their offspring that would come. Is there any problems with that? See, I believe we want to wait till after we get into the situation and pray. Why not pray before we get in the situation? That's what Brother John Martin, I remember him telling that one time. He said, you don't have to wait and get sick to be prayed for being healed. And I thought, hey, that's a good statement. You know, that's a good statement. Won't you thank God for your healing before you get sick? Well, Brother Dale, I don't want to thank you for my healing because I ain't sick. Oh, my Lord. That opens up the channel for the devil to walk right straight into whatever you're doing. Thank him for your healing. And thank him every day for your healing. Thank him every day. I never pray a prayer that I don't say, God, thank you for all the things you've given me, physically and spiritually. You don't just talk to him like that. Just talk to him like a father. You know what he is. You don't have to make no beautiful, wonderful statements to attract his attention. Was it not the prophet that said you just write the ABCs and stick it on a tree out in the woods and God would know what was being said? Think about it. New creation. New race. Not the old creation made over. But a new creation. You know what? One day, see, I didn't finish. But one day, these bodies will be changed like his glorious body. And that'll be the finishing of the new creation to come in totally to where he's to bring us. But why can't we enjoy what's taking place? Do you ever just tell him, saying, Lord, I love you? That's what Brother Perry Green told us. One time he said, Brother Brown told him, said Brother Perry, he said, next time or sometime you pray and you feel him close to you, he said, tell him I love him. You know what? He wanted God to know he loved him. Father, we've tried this evening to do the best we could to bring out what we thought. We know it's got to be you that reveals it anyway, so we don't have no problems. We just rejoice in the fact that you have delivered your message unto us in the last days. You've shown us who we are and what we're here for. And the prophet said, when that bride realizes that, she'll be an invincible army. Because Satan will be powerless before her, just like he was before you. Lord, we just ask you to help and guide each one of us as we go on our way home, that you would just touch the hearts and the lives of the people, that Christ would be glorified among us. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.